SBS Spice is where South Asian culture and identity take center stage. What makes us tick or ache? Search SBS Spice podcast online or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Melbourne Student Union, which is preparing to release its fourth report on student experiences of racism on campus. I spoke with her about approaches to tackling racism at universities.
It really blew me away of how terrible the issue is, and I'm glad that we're able to finally put a light to the fact that this is systemic and this is a problem that's happening across all of our universities, and it is our responsibility to really take action to ensure that our students feel safe.
As someone who works in this space advocating for better outcomes for students, what was your sense of some of the accounts which the Commissioner described as harrowing? Was any of that a surprise to you?
Unfortunately, it wasn't too much of a surprise to me. As a Black student myself, I've both seen and experienced racism at uni. And so to finally get some numbers and some stats to that, it wasn't shocking, but it's still quite harrowing to see and to really be faced and confronted with.
When you say as a Black student you've experienced this, can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, it's coming from a place where there is not too many African students at uni, and especially for someone like myself who has a name that is a little bit different to the average name or a little bit harder to pronounce, I often am faced with the microaggression of mispronouncing my name or suggestions about my culture or that sort of thing. Like, it's just a casual thing that happens that I've experienced during my time here at uni.
If you take us back to when that first happened, what was your first instinct on how you needed to navigate this, or how you found your way out through the other side?
Yeah, my first response was talking with people around me, especially my community groups. I have been involved very actively with the different African-based societies that we have at uni. And through talking to them, leading to them, getting support, we turned to some of the reporting services that the university offers, as well as just taking an active stance in correcting people when they do mispronounce my name, and being really intentional about making sure that it is pronounced correctly.
What are some of the longer term impacts of the experience of racism, either that you've experienced, that's been documented in this University of Melbourne report? I mean, I guess people who haven't experienced firsthand would think, what's the big deal? But what do we understand about the longer term impacts?
Yeah, well, I guess I'd go back to what you just said. That's kind of part of the issue, is that people see it as it's not really a big deal at all, or like it's something that happens all the time, so it's normal. And the normalization of these racist comments or situations is really the long-term effect, where the people that are experiencing it are also being able to push it aside and be like, oh, maybe it isn't a big deal, or maybe, yeah, my feelings here aren't, like, it's okay, like it happens, when the reality is it's not okay and it should never be happening, and it shouldn't be something that we just have to go through. We should never have to go through any sort of racist situation.
The report also found that when people made complaints, and it was only 6% of those who experienced racism surveyed would make a complaint at the university about the racism they experienced, they didn't have a successful outcome. What's been your insight into whether people make a complaint and what the outcome of that could be?
Yeah, in my experience, especially working in the student union, we find that students tend to come to the student union before they go to the university because they feel like the university doesn't take strong action or doesn't take them seriously. And so in that, when students don't really know where to report or where to get the support, they turn to us as a place that they trust compared to the university, which has been interesting to see, and also to know that, like, students aren't trusting that the institution themselves will pick this up and take it seriously, so why would they go there in the first place, and trying to figure out what the best way to navigate that situation is when it does happen.
And in terms of this body of work that you've been doing through your association, it's not the first annual report that's documented students' experiences of racism. What has this latest report found?
Our latest report has found that 1 in 5 students will experience overt racism at uni, and that almost 50% have experienced casual racism, which includes the microaggressions that we were talking about before. And again, this isn't something that's new or surprising. It's a trend that we've seen in previous reports. And on top of that, we've also seen that 1 in 5 students have witnessed lecturers making racist jokes. And it comes down to maybe the people aren't seeing it as much as a racist joke, more so just a joke that happens to be centered around badgering or making fun of a race, which is just not okay. And it's really harrowing to look and explore when we see those kind of results coming from our students.
What are you recommending?
We are recommending that the university creates a bit more of a transparent platform for students to report racism, and an easier way to navigate that process, because one, students don't know where to go, and that's what makes it really difficult when situations like that happen. But also the assurance that when they are making reports, that they are actually being actioned and they are being listened to, and that there's change happening, because there's not a lot of clarity behind what happens when you first make that report to what the outcome is once you do. And so ensuring that the university has these resources and these reporting systems really clear and accessible to prepare both the teachers that are handling these situations in the classroom as well as the students that are experiencing it is really important.
Some of the accounts that you've received, what was one that stuck with you?
Students talking about their experiences when group projects. A lot of students have explained in the report how their separation or the isolation that happens within the classroom when it comes to group projects, and how students often don't talk to a certain group of people within the classroom, and how that hasn't just happened to one student, it's happened to a lot of students. And seeing that as a repeated pattern is just really disheartening, because these are things that our lecturers and our tutors and our teachers can see visibly. They can visibly see that isolation. And I feel like it might be on them to also action that and to try and fix a safe space within their classroom rather than just let the isolation and the separation between students happen.
What do you think could be done differently? I mean, a lot of this is about training, it's about education, it's about how people interact in these spaces, from students to staff to international students to a whole range of people who are on the campus. What really is the key to ensuring that there is that true inclusivity and understanding, I guess?
I believe that countering racism starts in the classroom, because our teachers, our tutors, our lecturers are all witnesses to all sorts of discrimination and racist behaviours every day. They witness the isolations that students go through visibly through where people sit, how people choose their groups, and even how students undergo group projects. They also might overhear racist comments or perpetuate microaggressions, such as actively mispronouncing students' names. And I think it's important for our teachers to be able to manage those safe spaces and to push anti-racist classrooms and conversations.
What's your assessment of the response to the reports?
Well, I am grateful that after a few years of doing our UMSU racism reports, we finally had the uni to do their first racism at uni report. I would still err on the side that students felt more comfortable to report these kind of situations to us than to the university. So I would question how well they were able to report the racism that was happening on their campus, because students don't feel the need to always report directly to them instead of coming just to us.
And why are you so passionate about advocating in the role that you're currently in on this topic, which, to be frank, is a difficult conversation and can make people feel very uncomfortable, whether it's people going through their own journeys or, as you say, having to correct other people's names? You feel very passionate about this. Why?
Because outside of my personal experience as a Black student and being able to be in those environments where I felt uncomfortable or I felt unsafe, or I know that I am different to other people and kind of experience that, students have also described the personal toll of racism that it's had on their academic lives. And someone in the report actually said that they felt like there was a gap between how they are treated by their professors who are white and how they treat their white counterparts. And I believe that who I am as a person, my race, my background, and even my place as a woman has no impact on my academic future and my education. And unfortunately, there is a difference that happens between students of colour and students who aren't. And I believe that every single student should have equal opportunities in that way, and racism getting in the way is just not okay.
Nobody knows Australia like Ernie Dingo, and the reason's simple. He's never stopped exploring.
You've got to tell me about this.
On the new season of Going Places with Ernie Dingo, Ernie's joined by Mark Cole Smith.
This is such a unique experience.
Ray Johnston and Brooke Blurton.
Magnificent.
It's pretty special.
They'll show you our country at its most breathtaking.
Oh, my, amazing.
Going Places with Ernie Dingo. Stream free on SBS On Demand.
You mentioned the support of the community groups, but any particular advice on how to navigate that and build that confidence?
I would say that people should lean on their student unions. A lot of their student unions have those great supports that can really guide them on the process when things like that happen to you. And talking about it is really important. It's very difficult conversations to have, very difficult to even talk about it with your friends and having those really critical conversations about experiences you might go through. But it's important that we call it out as much as we can. And if you see it, call it out. If you hear it, call it out and talk to somebody that you trust on how you can navigate those next steps, because you're not alone and it is something that is not okay. And I don't want anyone to ever feel like it is something that just happens. It never should just happen.
What do you hope will come out of these reports? I mean, we've got quite a bit of literature now on what the problem is.
I would hate for this to be another report that people just look at and be like, wow, that's really bad, and then they move on. You see it's bad. You know it's bad. We've been talking about it for ages that it's not okay. I really hope that some really practical steps come out of the universities on how to combat racism actively and how to make sure that every student on campus knows what it is, how to get support, how to report it. After four editions, there needs to be a bit more action, a bit more haste on how we really combat this, so that the next time we release a report, we can say, oh, things have actually changed and things have gotten better. But until we do, I really hope the uni is taking an active stance and response on this and really making practical ways to ensure students feel safe on campus.
Starting 5th of March on SBS On Demand, The Hospital in the Deep End. Our hospitals are under pressure like never before.
Oh my God.
And when the system buckles, we all pay the price.
That's not good.
In this landmark series, three notable Australians step onto the front line to see what it really takes to save a life.
I honestly didn't think it was like that.
The Hospital in the Deep End starts 5th of March on SBS On Demand.